Hello, and welcome to another instalment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David and Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments, which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to.
Dave, you and I have done many episodes now of I Wish I Hadn't.
We have.
It occurs to me that there are some things that I've missed out from previous episodes.
Slipped
or some
through
that
the
didn't
net.
Fit in.
Slipped through the net, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to start off with one that that involved both of us. And
okay.
I will take you back to a New Year's Eve in Bridport.
Yes.
Many years ago, which involved you.
Yes.
And me. And Jackie.
Yes.
And Steve. And Liz. And Robert.
Right. Okay, yes.
And we decided that we would have a series of games over the course of the evening.
Yes,
does this, this come back to you?
It's beginning to ring a bell.
Yes. And one of the games was an egg and spoon race.
I don't remember that at the moment, but carry on.
Well, I prepared this in advance. And there were six of us.
Yes.
Wait a minute, one, two, three. Well, yeah, there were six of us. So I had six spoons, six eggs. And Robert, my friend Robert, you know, with whom I shared a flat. He became the butt of the joke because we had five hard-boiled eggs. And one non-boiled egg. So, of course, as we started to race up the road, his egg came out and spattered on the pavement. And he then said, "You bastards." But that was also the evening when we went into a pub and we had wigs with us. Do you remember?
Do you know, it rings a bell, but I can't completely picture it.
I don't know why we had wigs with us, but we put wigs on before we went into this pub.
Yeah.
And Robert, who had fair hair, had a dark wig on his head. And as we went into the pub, we got up to the bar and realised that the barman had a very bad wig on.
Also had it.
And he obviously thought we were just doing this deliberately.
Taking the piss.
Yeah, taking the piss. But it was also the evening at which you had in your pocket something that you then...
I did. I did indeed.
Do you want to tell the story of that?
I did. Well, I knew that we were going out for a sort of, shall we say, a fun-filled evening.
Yes.
Of things that that would be memorable. And... And I'd been into a shop. I can't remember whether... I don't think it was particularly a joke shop. It's just a shop that sold a variety of things. And I'd purchased something in there that I thought might help to sort of get people going in the first place. And
it did.
And we sort of met... I think it was a quite a small pub, wasn't it? I remember
it was a
wooden table. We were sat round this table. And I thought, this is where my acting skills
have
got to come
in. I knew this
in.
Was going to happen, didn't
you knew,
I?
Yeah.
But somebody else didn't.
They didn't. No. And so I thought, I need to use my best acting skills here. So instead of making this particular event happen suddenly, I managed to build it up gradually by basically suggesting that, you know, I don't want to spoil things, chaps, but I don't feel brilliant at the moment. I'm feeling a bit of an upset stomach at the moment.
Yeah.
And then left it for a little bit longer. And then it was a case of, do you know, I really don't feel like... I feel quite unwell at the moment.
Yeah.
And this built up and built up until I gradually sort of managed to slip my hand in my pocket and pull out this rolled up piece of plastic that had been basically formed into a pool of vomit.
Yes.
And as I sort of leant forward and retched, I threw it onto the table and it splatted down onto the table.
Very convincing.
Very convincingly. And it had, if I remember rightly, it had bits in it that looked like fried bread.
Yeah. Bits of styrofoam.
Bits of
styrofoam.
And they were crinkly, and it had bits of carrot and that.
And it was basically kind of orange colour, wasn't
it? It was, and it caused absolute sort of uproar.
Well, I remember Liz shrieking.
Yeah. And then it took that couple of seconds for people to realise that actually this was a bit of plastic.
It made a very satisfying sort of thwack as it hit the table.
Thwack onto the table.
In the way that projectile vomiting would.
Yeah, that was a good one. But also,
Robert, I remember, I'm not sure if you were there, but he was the butt of a joke in another sense when late one night, after a lot of drinking, we were playing charades.
Mm.
I don't know if you were here on this. And he was the next one to try to guess, and we were acting it out for him. And he went to the bog.
Mm-hmm.
While he was in the bog, I said, tell you what, let's all agree on what I'm going to give him, and none of you guess it.
Yes.
So I said, this is what I'm going to suggest, and you've got to be ignorant. So when he came back, I said, Robert, I whispered to him, I would like you to act out those magnificent men in their flying machines.
Yeah.
So he started to sort of stick his arms out his wing and go round the sitting room like a plane, flapping his wings like a bird. And everybody was suggesting things like idiot and, penguin. It took him about 10 minutes to realise that we were falling
setup.
About. Exactly. Yeah. I wish I hadn't done that, but it was a little bit unkind, maybe.
Yes. It reminds me of something else that I don't think I've mentioned before, a similar sort of thing where my aged stepfather was persuaded to have a go on a Wii machine, on the Wii. Have I told you this before?
No.
And it was a Christmas, and we had this the Wii set up, and he was there was a game on this on the Wii. It was a very simple game, but basically you had to keep this bird in flight by literally sort of wafting your hand with the control up and down as you were doing it, and it would, if you didn't do it fast enough, it would start to drop out of the sky. You had to keep it in the air. So he's there, not really any idea about electronic games at all, doing his bird impression, but not just the one hand going up and down, the other hand going up and down with it, a bit like the men in their flying machines.
Yeah, yeah.
And also at the same time, oh, 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 that's this bird set up. And the rest of us absolutely in fits of laughter.
Did you feel unkind for laughing at him?
Not really, because I think he quite enjoyed it at the time. He thought, he'd never done anything quite the same.
No.
He also, of course, was the man who, with a game called, I can't remember the game, but in this game you had to, Humbug. Have you ever seen Humbug?
No.
And Humbug is one where you're given a card, and the card has the name of a tune on it, and you have to hum the tune so that people can guess what the tune is.
Okay.
Now, most people, that's reasonably straightforward. And some people are very tuneful, and people get it immediately because the tune is so obvious.
Did you give him something like death metal?
It was a very simple. It was very. It may well have been something like the sound of music or something like that. And the problem is that he decided or was the sort of person who not only would hum on the out breath, but also tried to hum on the in-breath as well. So if you can imagine the scene of this person, not particularly tunefully, going, and the rest of us absolutely killing ourselves laughing because it just had that. It had that ridiculous feel to it as it went on.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Right. I'm going to now take another sideswipe into a sort of a dressing up problem. It was a winter's day, and I got up early in the morning in a bit of a hurry, dressed, got to work, and realised that I had dressed in the dark and put on shoes from different pairs.
Ah, yes, the classic.
The classic, yeah. Dressing, I mean, in the dark.
There are people who would say, looking at you, John, that you obviously always dress in the dark.
Well,
but,
thank you very much, yeah. It was mildly embarrassing. That was one of those I wish I hadn't things, yeah.
I remember my dad bought a pair of shoes, cheap, surprise, surprise, and he got them home, and he'd obviously bought them, not in the dark exactly, but certainly in low lighting, shall we say, thinking they were a brown colour. Yeah. They were slip-on brown shoes, and when he got them home, put them in the proper light, it was obviously they were green, green shoes, and he became known as a while by certain pupils at the school as the teacher in the green shoes.
Yeah,
it almost made him feel like he was a bit of a pixie or something.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Well, he didn't stop wearing them.
He
bolted it out, didn't
that
he?
That was what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can think of another one when my sister and I went to a pub. I think it was West Bexington, actually.
Oh yes. Yeah,
and there was a bar downstairs, but you exited by going upstairs. Mm. And we were with another friend of mine, and we went upstairs, and on our way out, we noticed there was a visitor's book.
Right.
So we thought this can't go, you know, without being entered something in the visitor's
book.
Yes. Yeah. So we wrote something very silly, you know, like Dr. Hieronymus Crud or something like that, you know, for the cuttings, wrote it in there. And then started to exit the door just as the landlord came up the stairs and looked suspiciously at the visitor's book. And as we left the door, he shouted out, "Don't bother coming back again." And I felt actually quite humiliated. I thought to myself, you know...
That sounds to me, John, like it's something you wish you hadn't done.
I definitely wish I hadn't done it, because I did feel sort of rather embarrassed there, actually, that I had done that.
I mean, I find visitors' books quite quite off-putting, really, because you stand there and you think to yourself, I'd quite like to write in this visitors' book, but I'm really worried that someone, A, will look at what I've written and think, that's a stupid thing to say, or that's pretty obvious, or, you know, couldn't they write more than that? And also, you're aware that someone's going to read it at some point, and I just feel I'm being judged on what I've written in the visitor's book.
I think you are being judged. Yeah.
Almost
and
certainly.
So.
Almost certainly.
Yeah. So what else do I have in my catch up? I've got asparagus.
Asparagus. Okay.
I like eating asparagus, always wish I hadn't the first time you urinate after.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
and isn't it amazing how quickly it goes through your system?
It does. It does. It really does. And you think, okay, that's, you know, if you were to think to yourself, did I have asparagus with that meal?
Yeah.
You'd soon realise.
No, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course I did.
Because, I mean, various, you know, beans make you fart.
Yes.
And alcohol makes you sick sometimes, you know, as we've discussed in previous episodes. But asparagus is smelly and unpleasant. And it's just, you know, I always do think, you know, I think to myself, I wish asparagus didn't make you wee smell. But you could say, I wish I hadn't eaten asparagus, because it's a horrible smell, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, we often try and hide the asparagus when we're cooking it in some nice Parma ham or something like that on the barbecue. It's lovely, really tasty. But
give it to other people, not eat it yourself.
I tend to eat it, but you're thinking to yourself, you forget the asparagus is in the middle.
I suppose
it's a nice taste, and then, of course, you remember 10 minutes later.
Yeah,
there it is. Yeah, there
and it lasts
is.
Quite a long time too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But there are people who say, well, I never get that.
I know, I've heard that.
And you think to yourself, how can you not have got that
exactly.
from the asparagus?
Yeah. And talking of nasty smells, the last thing that I have as a catch-up was that when I used to work in the post office, I had a customer, a very elderly lady, and a very, very smelly lady. And the trouble was, you know, it was okay if I was one side of the counter, but then she would often ask me to get an ice cream out of the freezer cabinet, and then she would join me at the freezer cabinet while I got her out. And I would literally have to hold my breath for all the time that I was, or stick my head into the cabinet into in the an cabinet, attempt. Yeah. Because, it, I mean, I can't describe the smell, but it was like she had prematurely died. It was. I don't think she probably washed since the 1950s. And you know, if you ever smell anybody as rang, it was very unpleasant. I used to rather dread her coming in, and so I would say I could wish, you know, that I hadn't had her as one of my. Do you have any smelly kids at school?
Oh, frequently. The thing is about
the ones
about,
who smell of weed.
Yeah, I mean the trouble is when you're at school and you get a child that does have that aroma to them. It's not so much the dread, because you worry about their home background.
Of course you do.
I mean, it's a different attitude it is. And I've, in the past, I've quite often mentioned to other members of staff, you know, have you noticed that this person's got a particularly, you know, urine smell about them? And you know, I mean, if you were to delve into it, the home background wouldn't be very good. So it's a rather, you know, I mean,
would anything ever be done about it?
Well, if there was a health visitor, it could often be sort of passed on to them to say, look, you know, do you realise that this child is coming to school like that? But I mean, to be honest, I mean, that wasn't as bad as children who came to school with not just lice in their hair, but actually, you know, sort of. Encrusted, like, you know, sort of where they got under the skin. I mean, quite horrendous. I mean, I don't like going down this route really, because it's quite unpleasant, but not something to laugh about. But
no, of course not.
Yeah, I mean, it always used to make me. I used to deal with children sometimes who would wear a cap or something like that, and for whatever reason they wouldn't take it off, and in fact would have an absolute meltdown if they were forced to take it off in the classroom. In the end you didn't do it, you know, and you just hope that no other child would say, why is that person wearing a cap in the classroom? Which most of them were pretty good about, and they didn't, because they realized there was a problem. Well, that's gone very serious.
It has gone very serious.
Very
I was
serious.
Gonna say, right. maybe
more light-hearted. Well, on
not
that
really
evening.
No, like, I've pretty much gone through my catch-ups. These were things that, you know, I had thought of from previous episodes, and they'd never come out. I think I've covered all the ones that, you know, I mean, as we are coming to a close of I Wish I Hadn't, before we move on to New Pastures, we have in mind, you know,
this is
not a sad goodbye.
I mean,
there will be more.
No, I think we've realised that, having done, you know, the best part of 20 odd episodes, that you come to a point where once you've caught up, that there aren't that many things that you can go back to and think, oh, I wish I hadn't done or said or done this, because we've covered most of them now, haven't we?
We have,
It's the sort of thing where you think, well, what else do I wish I hadn't done? It's not much now, really.
But we have plenty of new ideas.
We do. And we
enjoy doing this, so we hope that you know, other people may possibly gain some slight pleasure from it.
Yes.
And we'd be very gratified if you do.
Yes.
So for now, you know, we will draw this one to a close. Hope to be joined by you again very soon.
Very soon, in the near future. And where we can ramble and talk about so many different things that amuse us and that make us, reminisce as well.
Yes, very much so.
So bye for now.
Yeah.